Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
This evening, please take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. Beautiful day. So much enjoyed being with you. And I know your prayers are with Glenn as he is in Denver on a lectureship and will be there this week. And we pray for the success of the lectureship as well as his travel. I know he is sorely missed. But I do enjoy the opportunity to be able to preach the gospel to you today. I happen to believe this firmly with all of my heart, that there is no group of people that I know of, such as you, who love the Word of God more. That is evident by the way that you live your life, by your faithfulness in your attendance, by your conduct, by your good deeds. And so tonight I want to talk about our relationship and our attitudes toward the Word of God. And so our text will be Nehemiah chapter 8, and we're going to be there in just a second. But let me tell you what's going on. In Nehemiah chapter 8, in those first 8 verses, tell us that the people came and stood before the Lord. And Ezra the scribe read the Word of God from early morning till midday. I want to say that there is no way that we can have a growing, flourishing church without the Word of God being at its core. There is no way to have a growing, flourishing Christian life without the Word of God being at your very core. It is no secret that the church of our Lord in many places, in fact, in this own state, is not doing very well. It is because she has been fed junk food. All sorts of artificial substitutes have been served to her. And as a result, many people are suffering from theological and biblical malnutrition. And it has affected the very generation in which you and I live. Remember the words of Amos in chapter 8, verse 11? He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I am going to bring a famine upon the land. Not a famine of bread or a thirst of water, but of hearing of the Word of God." Yes, one has to wonder if we are not worse off than we have been in previous generations because we have lost our appreciation for the centrality and integrity of the Word of God. Well, wherever you might be in your attitude towards the Bible, I've got good news for you tonight, and that is because Nehemiah chapter 8 brings us back into the will of God concerning our attitudes toward His Holy Word. Now, you know that Nehemiah is a wonderful book about reconstruction. It tells us what happened when Nehemiah came back with the people and they were freed from Babylonian captivity. They came back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls that were broken down. In many respects, Nehemiah is a book about administration because here is a leader who came back with these people to do a job that nobody thought he could do, and he did it in record time, in 52 days. He did it despite internal conflict. He did it despite outward oppression by Sanballat and Tobiah and the other bad guys who said that they were going to kill Nehemiah if he didn't stop building the wall. But I'm here to tell you tonight that he finished the project that God had given him to do. And so the seventh chapter of Nehemiah really talks about the building of the wall. But when you come to the eighth chapter, it is the most interesting place in the lives of these people because the project is done. The wall is up. But the wall that was built physically had nothing to do with the spiritual hearts of the people. You see, the project was done. The building was built. But the people were not where they were supposed to be before God. And I guess that's a temptation for us today, any church that would want to build a building. That there has never been a church building ever built that will bring about revival and renewal if the hearts of the people are not right. So what happened is when you see that the project is done, the task is finished, the tools have been laid aside, is that the people are living in comfort. But friends, I'm here to tell you, they didn't have a clue. They didn't have a clue about what the Word of God said. They were so far from the Lord. And so what happened is in the record is that the people came to Ezra. Now, Ezra is the scribe and priest. He has already been there for some 13 years. He came before from Babylon. And so they come to Ezra, the priest, and the scribe. Now, Nehemiah, remember that he just recently came, and he's the administrator. And they came to Ezra, and they said, Ezra, look, we're in really bad shape spiritually. Can you do something for us? Help us, please. Will you please read the Word of God? And so that's exactly what he was going to do. And so I want to take you through this process. And I think that we can learn a whole lot about our appreciation for the Word of God through Nehemiah chapter 8. This text really excites me. So the first thing they did, I want you to notice the preparation for the Word of God. As they prepared for the Word of God, I want you to notice that they had the right assembly. The Bible says that they gathered together in a broad place before the water gate. Now, Nehemiah probably had the water gate and the wall to his back as a sounding board before he talked to the masses of people. But I want you to notice something specifically about the assembly itself. Look in verse 1. It says that all of the people. Notice verse 2. It says both the men and women. It also says in verse 2, all who could understand. So the children that were there who were able to understand. So they had the proper assembly. And I love it the way we do it here at West Huntsville. This is the right way to do it. We don't have the teenagers off of this section or other kids in worship scene. We're all together. We're all learning together. Well, the whole family of God came together to hear the Word of God. But not only did they have the right assembly, I want you to notice that they had the right attitude. Now, I have felt that the chief thing that happens here on Sunday is not everything that the preacher says that is important, but it also has to do with our attitudes as we have come to hear. I have grown up listening to sermons and lectureships and workshops. I guess I've heard thousands and thousands. I've heard great sermons. I've heard good sermons. I've heard medium sermons. And I've heard some bad sermons. But you know what I've learned? I have never heard a sermon that I could not gain something from my own soul if my attitude was right. Isn't that true? If I wanted to. Attitude. That's the key here. Will you look in the text with me at their attitude? Look, first of all, their right attitude is displayed by their request. Did you see that? They weren't asking if they had to go to church. They weren't asking if they had to go to worship. They said, Ezra, could you please, please read the Word of God for us? I think that'd kind of be like some of you coming to the elders after Bible class this morning and say, you know what? Could we have another service at 3:00? Could we please do that? We are just so hungry for the Word of God. So their attitude is demonstrated in their request. But secondly, you see their attitude is demonstrated in their unity. Verse 1 says that they came together as one man. They were totally unified behind this idea of hearing the Word of God. It kind of reminds us of the early church in Acts 2. All the believers were together and had all things in common. Chapter 4, verse 32 said they were of one mind and they were one heart and one soul. These people had all things in common in the sense they had a common desire to hear the Word of God. So their attitude is displayed not only in their request, not only in their unity, but also in their endurance. Look at verse 3. If you will notice, isn't he read from the open square that was in front of the water gate from morning till midday? Now, that's incredible to me. From morning there is early light till midday. So they could have been there 5 or 6 hours listening to the Word of God. These people stayed together. Isn't that amazing? Now, I know I went a little long this morning. I didn't really realize that till I was walking back, and I thought, I was probably 5 or 10 minutes over. And I don't mind people looking at their watches, but it was when Mike Ball was shaking his watch like this. That bothers me a little bit. See, Mike took his watch off tonight. But these people stayed there from morning till midday. Because they were excited. They were excited about hearing the Word of God. But next, I want you to see that their attitude is displayed by their attention. Look at the end of verse 3. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. So they weren't there standing, thinking about what happened last week, thinking about what they were going to eat for lunch, thinking about what someone may have said in the foyer. They were thinking about the Word of God. Isn't that something? They were attentive. They were hanging on every word. It kind of reminds me of what Paul had to say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13. He says, we continually thank God for you because when you received the word from us, you welcomed it, not as words of men, but the words of God. That is something that they understood. And so they were so attentive as the Word of God was being read. But lastly, I want you to see their attitude is also displayed in their posture. Today, some people complain if the pews aren't padded. Some people complain if the seat is padded and the back's not. But I'm here to tell you, these people didn't have any pews. For they stood from the beginning of that service until the very end. Are you getting the picture that these people came together so wanting to hear the Word of God that they lost track of time, they lost track of comfort, they lost track of everything except the central purpose of hearing what God would say to them. And my brothers and sisters, that is the attitude that you and I must have if we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Be hungry for the Word as they were. Preacher recently said that he was preaching and then he was standing in the back after service and one lady came up and she said, you know what? She says, you're getting better than ever. He said, I'm better than ever. And then she corrected herself and said, no, I am listening better than ever. Isn't that right? You can have the greatest preacher that there is, and I think we have one of the best in the brotherhood here in Glenn. But if the hearts and the attitudes of the people are not right, there will be no learning and growing as God would have us to. I remember hearing individuals say at a particular church, they said, you know what? I'm not very happy here. Because every Sunday I listen to the preacher and I'm not being fed. The real question is your mouth open? Are you hungry? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Well, these people were. Well, that is just the preparation for the Word of God. Now let's get to the presentation of the Word of God. And this is exciting, isn't it? How was the Word of God presented to them? First of all, I need to tell you that it was presented in the right place. If you look at verse 4, it says that Ezra stood up on a platform above all the people. And the reason he stood on a platform above all the people was so that the Word of God would be central among the masses of people. Not so that the preacher could be central. This stage is not up here and this pulpit is not here in the center because of the preacher. It's here because of the Word of God is front and center. It is important. It is living. It is powerful. And so, you get the picture. As he stood there in the square, that he was on this platform and the Word of God was so central. But not only was it read in the right place, you see that it was read in the right way. And verse 5 says that he read the Word of God in the sight of all the people. Now look, you know that they didn't have Bibles as we do today that are bound. Probably what they had was a scroll that they had, the Torah, the five first books of the Bible there, of Moses. And the Bible says that Ezra stood up in sight of all the people and he read the Word of God. He read that so they could see. He read so that they could hear. And it says there in verse 8 that he read distinctly. You know what that means? That means so that everyone could hear clearly and that they could understand. So not only was it read in the right place, in the right way, but it was read in the right manner. One of the greatest verses in all of the Bible that talks about what we do as teaching the Word of God is found in verse 8. I want you to read it with me. So they read distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave sense and helped them to understand the reading. What does a preacher do anyway? He reads the text, he explains the text, and he applies the text. Now, there's something else going on here that I don't want you to miss. I want you to understand that Ezra is reading this Hebrew scroll, but he's reading to Babylonian ears. Did you know that? These people had been in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. Some of them didn't understand Hebrew. So if you notice, there was other people there on the platform with Ezra translating so that these people could hear. They had just come back from captivity. And so I think that is wonderful. You know what that tells me is that there should be no barrier to hearing the Word of God and being a faithful Christian. We are so blessed here at West Huntsville to have a Larry Sanderson. Larry is very, very talented at what he does. He interprets the Word of God so that our deaf members, our family, can hear. There should be no barrier to hearing the Word of God. I think about J.B. Johnson and Ora Lee. They moved to Birmingham, but they were former members here, and they were blind. And I know sometimes J.B., he would read the Word of God, and it would be this far from his eyes. But it wasn't going to stop him. His disability was not going to stop him from hearing the Word of God and living a faithful life. So what are the questions that you and I should ask when we read the Word of God? There are three. What does it say? You can just write these out somewhere on a piece of paper. You've got a scripture that you're reading and you write, what does it say? And then you write what it says. And the next question is what does it mean? And you write what it means. And then the next question is, what does it mean to me? If we leave out the last one, people will come and they will hear and they will leave and they will say, that's wonderful, and live their lives as if they've never heard the Word of God. We have to make the Scriptures personal to us. So what happened when the Word of God was dispensed correctly with the right attitudes? I want you to see in verse 6. For the Bible says that they worshiped. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So the people responded immediately in worship. They said, Amen, Amen, so be it. And they lifted their hands and bowed their faces to the ground. I have been in churches, and sometimes this happens here, occasionally, when the Word of God will be preached and it will strike a chord in the heart of somebody and a man will say, Amen, so be it. One of our former elders who has passed away, Brother Mel Barefoot, would do that on occasion. So be it. And I hope that when you hear the Word of God and it strikes a chord in your heart, that if not out loud, at least in your own heart, that you say, Amen. It caused them to worship. There's a preacher who was studying in his office one day, and he heard the doorknob of his office rattle a little bit, and so he went to the door and he answered, and he saw his little boy standing there about 5 years old. Well, he was kind of annoyed that he was being disturbed while he studied, so he looked down at his son and he said kind of gruffly, he said, what do you want, son? And the little boy said, Daddy, he said, I don't want nothing. He said, I just want to look at you. I have a feeling that that's what these people felt after they heard the Word of God. So many times we come to God asking for things, but sometimes we should respond after reading the Word of God and prayer and song and worship God. Well, they worship, but I want you to see that the second thing that that happened after they heard the Word of God dispensed correctly and with the right attitudes is they not only worship, but they wept. They wept. Look in verse 9. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep. For all the people wept when they heard the word of the law. Isn't that something? Why did they do that? Did that happen to you sometimes? It happens to me sometimes. I guess the reason that happens is because I just feel so much joy that I'm in the family of God. I think about this universe and how vast and big it is. And how great and powerful God is. He's the Almighty. And here I am, little me, on planet Earth, living in Alabama. And the Lord knows my thoughts afar off. There's nowhere I can go that He doesn't know that I'm there. He knows what is in my heart. He loves me. He cares for me. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me. And sometimes that's so overwhelming. John must have felt that because he wrote in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, he said, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. But the second reason that happens is when I look at my Savior, Jesus Christ, and the life that He lived and the sorrows that He endured, and I look at my life, I see how far I am from Him. And that breaks my heart. It reminds me of Peter. when Peter said, take your nets out and put them in the deep. Peter said, hey, we've been fishing all night. But Lord, nevertheless, at your word, that's what we'll do. And the Bible says they had so many fish that filled the boat that they came and got their partners and filled two boats and they were sinking. And what was Peter's reaction? The Bible says that he fell at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I am a sinner. Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15, he said, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So maybe that's what happened to these people. They realized how blessed they were of God to have the walls and have the wonderful protection from their enemies. But then they looked into their hearts and saw that they were empty with the things of God. And so they wept at hearing the Word of God. But the fourth thing that they did is that they worked. And I want you to see this. Look in verse 14. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month. Now let me explain this a little bit. If you'll go back to Leviticus chapter 23, verse 42, you'll see that there were feasts were going on. In the seventh month, the beginning of the seventh month was kind of like our new year. It was a great time for renewal of the people. I mean, the first day was the Feast of the Trumpets. On the 10th day was the Day of Atonement. And the 15th day through the 21st day was the Feast of the Tabernacles. And what God had instructed them to do is that they were to go out and they were to collect these branches from all over and they were to build themselves booths out of these sticks and these branches. And they usually did that on the rooftop. It was a reminder to them of what God had done for Israel when their ancestors wandered in the wilderness for those 40 years. They had no permanent home. They dwelt in temporary structures, but God cared for them and supplied their needs. And so they were supposed to build this and live these huts and live in them for 7 days as a reminder. But it also served not to look back, but to look at the harvest and remember how much God had blessed them on that day. So you see that? I like that. They heard Ezra read the law of God, and then they went out and they worked. If we come to church just to get smarter, Lord help us. We need to come to hear what the Word of God says and then go put that in practice. Not just being hearers, but doers. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what he does. James chapter 1, verse 25. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, but he who does the will of my Father. He who hears these sayings of mine, but does not do them, I will liken him to a foolish man. And then he said, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, it's like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Hears and does. And I pray that every day in our lives, our daily reading, and then our corporate worship, as the Word of God is preached, that we go through this process, that we hold this book, the very Word of God, up high and dear to our hearts. And then we show Jesus Christ how much we respect Him and God's Word by doing what He says. I want to close by reading this. Someone has written a little bit of poetry about what happened, and it really summarizes all that we've talked about tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. Ezra sat at the water gate, and the people gathered round. Oh, read us the word of God that our faith may be sound. So Ezra brought the scrolls and read them from early morn till noon. And no one cared that time wore on. The morn was gone so soon. Do we desire the word as they prostrate upon the ground they fell, and with sobs their bodies shook? Arise, don't weep, the Levite said. There is peace within this book, for sadness has no place today, for it is a holy joy we feel. Leave now and go home and celebrate this festive meal. How often do we hear the word and fill our hearts of stone? It is sensitivity to sin the believers must condone. The leaders came again the next day to search for guidance too. Is there anything which we have read that we have failed to do? Cut branches, build yourselves some huts. Live there for 7 days. Not since the time of Joshua had they observed it this way. When God commands, do I obey, not caring when He spoke? For what was given to the ancient men applies to modern folk. God's word shall stand eternally through ages, come and go. May I be seeking, like these men, to act on what I know. Isn't that good? It really summarizes all that we've talked about this evening. Thank you for listening the way that you have tonight. At this time, I extend the Lord's invitation. If there is anyone in this audience who has not named the name of Jesus Christ, if you've not put Him on in baptism, or maybe it is that you as a Christian know that maybe there's been a coldness toward the Word of God that you've had, and that you see that there's a great differential between what you believe and what you do. Will you respect the words of God tonight and make things right with Him? Maybe you don't need to come up here on this bench. Maybe you need to go home. Maybe you need to pick up the phone and call one of your brothers and sisters and say, we need to make things right. If you need to respond, do that as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.